Good morning. I want to do a lesson today called Working Together for His Glory and Our Good. We have done some similar things like that in the past, but not necessarily this. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, the text says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." This is not about individualism. A church is not about individualism. I'll do what I want when I want. People that violate the assembly, knowing they're well, knowing they're in good health, and knowing they can be here, but choosing not to do it, is a violation of the assembly. Now, if a person's sick, dying, or dead, that's a different story. But I don't know what it takes to get all of that back. We're becoming a liberal society in this nation. And it's got me very, very concerned. I mean, huge concern. If we were to take a close inspection of ourselves, we'd likely find out some things, like 10% of the people in most congregations do 90% of the work. Do you believe that's probably true? Yes or no? God didn't create any of us exactly the same, which I'm grateful for that. We don't need two of us. God's people are called to work together in diversity. I have talents you don't have, but at the same time, you have talents I don't have. That don't make you better than me or me better than you. That makes us two people in the presence of God doing what He called us to do, what He gave us to do. God's people are called to work together in His kingdom with not having a mindset that says things like, "Somebody needs to do something." How many thousands of times have we heard a statement like, "Somebody needs to do something"? Do you know a person that says, "Somebody needs to do something" should be the first person's foot who hits the floor to start doing something? Yes or no? If you watch sports, now, I have to confess to you, watching sports is like watching paint dry, only worse. But if you like sports, hallelujah. If you watch the sports, the winners are typically those who work together. Every once in a while in games like football, baseball, whatever, you're going to have one of these guys that thinks he wants to be the Superman of every game. Usually, he's going to end up with a big knot on his head. But what a team does is a team takes all of their gifts that God's given them, puts them together, and works in unison. And that's how you win a game. Everybody working the same way. If someone comes along and says, "Oh man, Alan's off his game today," what are they saying? What they're saying is, "Alan's not doing too great today. We're going to put Buddy in his place for song leading Sunday." Though we understand the process in sports and can quickly point out a problem, it seems that we go blind when they call us to fix it. An audience It's the spectators in the stands. And if you want to know, for the most part, in most churches, it's a spectator sport, for the more part. The church is not a game to be played on an appropriate day, but rather it's the body of the Lord composed of many parts working together. I can know this. If I were to ask Robert to pray for me at 12 a.m. every day, I believe he would do it. I believe Alan would do that. If I just gave a general thing, would you please pray for me at 12 noon for a week? It would not get done all the way across the board. You believe that's true? That tells us something. We're called to be people who are contributors. Anytime we hear the word contributor, we start to think about wallets. I don't want you thinking wallets, though it could be that. We're called to contribute to the fullness of the purpose, whatever it is. Our purpose is to, number one, honor God in everything we do to the best we can. And when we don't do it right, just back up and apologize to God and go again. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 says this, "Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form the body, so it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave, or free, we're all given the one Spirit to drink." What's being said here by Paul is that we are all for one and one for all. We're not about individualism. We're about people who want to be in the whole magnitude of all that God's doing. Through our baptism, in meeting the blood of Christ, it removed our sin. How many of you in here still sin? And you're not lying. You got your hand up. God made provision for that. You're still going to sin. He knows that. That's why He gave us a covenant. And the covenant is protected by His own righteousness. So even when we do not so great, God still keeps us clean. You see that? Brings us to a single body. In Him, we are His elect, but we are not His elite. We're not better than anybody else. We're His elect, but we're not the elite. The Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we're all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We can't be in an individualism situation. We're all for one, one for all. This helps us when the whole body's one, though composed of many members. You look at your own body and see what happens when one part or the other of it doesn't work so well. How many of you have ever gone maybe in the darkness at night, you got up for a little bit, and you ran over something in the dark and tripped? That's what evil does to us. And so God tells us, don't live in the darkness. Live in the light. That way you can see. If you're going to run over something, it's best to know what you're going to run over. It's a lot better to run over a puppy than it is a rattlesnake. With various talents we have among the whole, the burden of the work is shared, and it's not consuming upon the typical 10%. If we just put our stuff together and work together and think together and pray together in regard to asking things from God that we need, then we can do this. It's a lack of working together that must be corrected. If we're going to accomplish what God has for us, we've got to do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 to 25, the text will say, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body in every one of them just as He wanted them to be." Now, wait a minute. Whatever talent God has given you, whether you groomed it or not, it came from whom? God. No matter how good you are at it, it came from Him. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. All the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. Let me tell you something. I have some talents. They're not as good as they used to be, but they're still there. I have all my life wanted to be able to draw. And Goofy Allen fell off the moon able to do it. And he's drawn things for me over the years. All the drawing I tried to do, the only thing I could draw was flies. That's as far as I could go. I can't even make a good stick figure. It's pathetic. I have to go online somewhere and steal one from somebody else. But I can do stuff Alan can't do. And that's the way God made us. So if you got a problem and you got a group of people with this treasure of different abilities, what should we do? We need somebody to do so and so. We find somebody can do that. You don't have to know how to run it. If you give them the job, let them do it on their own. Don't boss them. That's another thing. I'm not going to go to Alan and get him to draw me something and boss him, because I know how far he can squirt that ink. There's no place and no time that we have the right to become jealous of another and pit one against the other. We're here to look out for each other. We're in a situation in our country that's going to go down further in the pit of iniquity before we ever see the rising. But when the rising does come, and if people do wake up and see what has happened, we may see a blooming of righteousness that come out in the world. We may not live to see it, but we can do those things that we know to do while we're here and put it in the hearts of other people as we teach. That's what teaching's about. There's plenty of examples in the Bible about all this kind of stuff. Miriam and Aaron became jealous of Moses. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been in a situation, you can raise your hand on this because nobody's going to know who it is. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew somebody was jealous of you? Anybody, can you raise your hand? Y'all are kind of shy. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. This is Numbers 12:1-2. They're talking against Moses. That's not a good idea. Moses was a pretty important dude. He was commissioned by God, was he not? That makes him extra. Because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite, has the Lord spoken only to Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken to us? And the Lord heard this. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So all three of them went out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, stood at the entrance of the tent, summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is no prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions and speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all of my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Were they not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them. He left them, and when the cloud lifted from the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. You know what? What God's telling me right here, he's telling me, Garrett, son, if you don't follow what I'm telling you, you're going to end up looking a whole lot different than you used to. I got ways to fix that. Let me ask you this. The Bible is old. You know, it's older than Alan. But listen to this. God hadn't changed the first day. If he wants it this way today, he'll want it that way 10,000 years from now and 20,000 years from then. That's the way God does business. Then there was Korah. Korah became jealous of Moses and Aaron. So what he did was what most people do, and this happens a lot in churches. They create a rebellion and a fuss. There are congregations all over the world, but mostly in the United States, that have a church building over here on Dufus Street. And everybody's fine until they have this argument. And what do? They move down the street and build a real Church of Christ. All over the country. You would be ashamed to see how many of those buildings are empty. Nobody there. I don't want that. We don't have to worry about numbers except for paying energy bills and junk like that. But there's a payment that comes from everything. There were corrective measures all through the Bible. In Romans chapter 12, speaking of gifts that we have, I don't want your gift. I would love to be an artist, but I figure with my background, I'd be painting on sides of walls and stuff, and that probably wouldn't work out well when they arrested me. Romans 12:6-8, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Notice, you didn't develop it. It was given to you. Now, can you enhance what God gives you? Yes, but you can't change it. If your gift is prophesying, Johnny, if you are a prophet, what should you do? Prophesy? Yeah. Well, what about Al here? I mean, this guy has been given a gift of abundant faith. What's he need to be doing? Sharing that faith. Now, I don't have your talent. You don't have my talent. It's not about all of that. It's about sharing what God puts together. And you're not better than somebody else because you have this or don't have that. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, encourage. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is an easy thing to see. This is not complicated at all. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing one with another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace where you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, and who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as God or Christ appropriated it." God gave you what He chose you to have. And I don't really have any business going off over here trying to get me a new talent so I can be over somebody else. I just need to be doing what God called me to do. I am a podagogos, which is a teacher. I'm so grateful to God He didn't measure it, good teacher or bad teacher, or in between. He gave me the gift to be a teacher, and I've been able to teach all over the world. But I've only been able to do that because I had the backing of people who had all these other things. See how that works? God wants to equip His people for service. In verse 14, "We'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we'll grow up to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." This is who we are. It's easy to find fault in anybody. And since y'all look at me, you got more arrows than I could afford to be stuck in me. But the question would be, why would you want to try to find fault in me? Why can't I just be who God made me? Why can't you just be who God made you? And if you look at yourself and say, well, I don't like what I've become, well, that's why that little word that pops up all the time, repent. And that's the reset button, don't you see? You ever have to reset your phone? If you ever have any kind of gizmo, whether it's a PC, laptop, you know, whatever it is, every once in a while you have to hit the reset button. It seems like lately I have pressed the little button thing on my reset button. Mine decided it's just not going to do anything else. And it didn't for 2 days. Some little old thing come up and said, "We will be with you soon." 2 days later, they were with me. So I was happy. It didn't cost me but 2 days. I have different gifts than you have. You have different gifts I have. And I'll tell you this. If we can develop this spirit, let's say, what if we can enhance it, make it even bigger? This church will be blessed, and the people around the world that we deal with will be blessed, and we'll stand before God blessed by Him. I like it when I go by Al Lloyd's chair over there. I often go by Al Lloyd's chair because he blesses me. I don't know where he got all that. I suspect he got it in the same place Paul and the others did. But every once in a while, I just need blessing. I don't even tell Him to bless me. He just does it. God is on our side. Don't you give up. There's going to be changes like you've never seen in your life. Everything could stop right now.
You can't go back and fix it. It'll have to go till God moves to make it happen. But I serve a God who has no limitation. And so do you. And the church said, amen.